On this podcast, Jeff does not pull punches. He does not make comments that are safe. He tells the truth. He tells things like he sees them. He's very opinionated. You don't like his opinions? Tough. He says the things out loud you're probably already thinking. He's unfiltered, unspun, a little unhinged, but he offers a lot of common sense. This podcast could make you mad. This podcast could make you smile. Regardless, it will make you think. This is A World Gone Mad.
Hello again. This is Season 1, Episode 11 of A World Gone Mad. I'm your host, Jeff Allen Wolf, and in this first segment, we do odds and ends of news, national and around the world, and politics. So let's jump right into it. Biden is very pissed off at Netanyahu in Israel. And President Joe Biden this past Thursday told Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu that the overall humanitarian situation in Gaza is unacceptable and warned Israel to take steps to address the crisis or face consequences. A stark statement from Israel's staunchest ally. Now, the 30-minute conversation with the two leaders was the first phone call since an Israeli strike killed seven aid workers from the World Central Kitchen in Gaza. The killings have set off a furor inside the White House, and Biden has been described as reaching a new level of frustration with Israel's campaign. President Biden emphasized that the strikes on humanitarian workers and the overall humanitarian situation are unacceptable, the White House said in a statement shortly after the call wrapped. Now, he made clear that U.S. policy with respect to Gaza will be determined by our assessment of Israel's immediate action on these steps. Biden also said Israel needed to announce and implement a series of specific, concrete, and measurable steps to address civilian harm, humanitarian suffering, and the safety of aid workers. Let's be clear, though, at the same time that the administration was alluding to potential changes in policy if Israel doesn't stop killing civilians, the U.S. was sending more deadly weapons to its ally. Biden is set to greenlight an $18 billion sale of fighter jets from the United States to Israel, and the administration recently authorized the transfer to Israel of over 1,500-pound bombs and over 1,000 small-diameter bombs, according to three people familiar with the matter. So, two things happening. Again, I stated before several episodes ago, Israel has the right to defend itself. That's a given, but it's been getting out of hand for a while now, and it's a slaughtering of people in the Gaza area. So I'm sorry, I have friends living in Israel, but there's a certain point where Netanyahu is going above and beyond to the point of cruelty and wiping out people, and it's got to stop. And thank God Biden stood up, said something. Let's see if anything comes forward or forth from that, from Netanyahu. I believe recently, and you can look at details online, that Netanyahu did agree to pull out troops from a certain area. Yohan, I believe, if I pronounce that right. So we'll see if anything changes. Trump again in the news. Former President Donald Trump was dealt two major setbacks this past week in his efforts to derail the criminal cases against him with judges in the Georgia election interference case and in the federal classified documents case, both rejecting bids by the presumptive 2024 GOP presidential nominee to have those cases thrown out. The judges in both cases have yet to decide other requests put forward by the big orange guy, seeking the dismissal of the Georgia and federal prosecutions, which were brought by Fulton County District Attorney Fonnie Willis and Special Counsel Jack Smith, of course. But for now, the prospect of the cases eventually going before juries remains alive, and a trial in a third criminal prosecution against Trump, that's the 2019 campaign hush money case, brought in New York, is on track to start this month. Trying every trick in the book, which, hey, as a defendant, Donald Trump is allowed to do, but it's I'm tired. Anybody else out there fed up with this? Let's get to the trial. If you're innocent, be proven innocent. If you're guilty, be proven guilty. Move on. Let's go past this minutia. Staying with the Trump silliness, Donald Trump falsely claims that appeals court said you won the civil fraud case that he lost. Former President Donald Trump continues to make false claims. What else is new about the New York civil fraud case he lost, including a wildly inaccurate declaration this past week that an appeals court previously said that he won the case? Trump said the appellate division actually gave me the case. I won the case because I won it in the appellate division. I won the case because it's called statute of limitations. You are an idiot, Donald. The appellate division ruled in my favor. That means most of the case is gone. The judge refused to honor it. Now he, nobody ever heard of that before. So the appellate division said, you won the case. That's it. And the judge said, I don't accept it. He's called a rogue judge, Trump said. He's a rogue judge. He's a fake judge. Methinks you doth protest too much. Facts first, okay? Trump's assertion is false. The appeals court never said he won the case. While its June 2023 ruling did exclude the former president's daughter, Ivanka Trump, as a defendant in the case, it did not, repeat, did not dismiss the attorney general's claim against Trump himself, his adult sons, or his company. Rather, the ruling set a precise cutoff for claims in the case, saying that claims against Trump and the other defendants were too old if they concerned transactions that were completed before certain dates. The court set the cutoff date of July 13, 2014, for any defendants Engeron decided were covered by an agreement signed in 2021 by a top lawyer at Trump's company. Engeron then ruled that Trump and all of the other remaining defendants were indeed covered by this agreement, that they submitted fraudulent financial statements more recently than July 13, 2014, and that they were therefore liable for civil fraud. They never dismissed the case. Trump will say anything, and most of you out there who support him believe it. Marjorie Taylor Nutball, yep, Nutball, that's disrespectful to Nutballs, is back in the news again. She never really left. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene bluntly warned Speaker Mike Johnson this past Wednesday that moving ahead with an aid package for Ukraine would be one of the most egregious things he could do. As she said, she was not backing off at all over her threat to force a House vote, seeking another ouster of a Speaker of the House. In a phone interview with CNN, the Georgia firebrand said GOP voters were furious at Johnson over his recent deal cutting, God forbid, to keep the government open, and suggested that she wouldn't accept any package that included more funding for Ukraine in its war against Russia, even if it included some border security provisions. Let me state something out loud. Idiot Marjorie Taylor Nutball Loonball Green, and anybody who believe this, that Ukraine is not important, and to give aid militarily as far as weapons and money to Ukraine to stop Putin's expansionism, are stupid. That includes family members of mine and friends. And if you don't get it, wake up. Read the news. Pay attention. Putin is a threat. Putin is a continuing threat, and he has to be stopped. So to say that Mike Johnson can't bring a floor vote about Ukraine aid that they desperately need, otherwise Ukraine falls, the country is taken over, and Russia at that point goes, screw it, I could do whatever the F I want, and I'll keep going. Wake up, America. For those of you who are not paying attention, here's the trial that is a sore thumb for me that stands out. Okay? This past week, special counsel Jack Smith threw down the gauntlet in an extraordinary filing in the Mar-a-Lago prosecution, the case that centers around former President Donald Trump's retention of classified documents and his resistance to government attempts to recover them from his Mar-a-Lago estate. Smith warned Judge Eileen Cannon that her approach to the law governing the handling of presidential records, and so Donald Trump's credibility in the case, was fundamentally flawed, and threatened to seek rare pretrial review by the 11th U.S. Circuit of Appeals. Trump denies, of course, all wrongdoing. Cannon is headed for the most trouble she has faced since the circuit reversed her twice, remember. Two times they reversed her in her original meddling in the government's pre-indictment investigation. If she does not course correct, she's headed for another shellacking by the court, rather by the circuit, and possible removal from the case. She's either ignorant of law, which I don't think so with all her background, or she's prejudiced. And I believe she's prejudiced. She is putting her finger on the scale of justice towards Donald Trump to help him run out the clock to keep this trial from going, this court rather, case from going to trial. And something has to be done, and either reprimand her or remove her. But this is becoming a joke at this point. And in a very dangerous situation, the U.S. is on high alert and actively preparing for a significant attack that could come as soon as the next couple of days to the following week by Iran targeting Israeli or American assets in the region in response to Monday's Israeli strike in Damascus that killed top Iranian commanders, a senior administration official tells CNN. Senior U.S. officials currently believe that an attack by Iran is inevitable, a view shared by their Israeli counterparts. That official said the two governments are furiously working to get in position ahead of what is to come, as they anticipate that Iran's attack could unfold in a number of different ways, and that both U.S. and Israeli assets and personnel are at risk of being targeted. A direct strike on Israel by Iran is one of the worst-case scenarios that the Biden administration is bracing for, as it would guarantee rapid escalation of an already tumultuous situation in the Middle East. Such a strike could lead to the Israeli-Hamas war broadening into a wider regional conflict and something Biden has long sought to avoid. This is dangerous. This is on the fire pit right now, smoldering and steaming. And this could escalate and blow up the Middle East where there's no putting everything back in the box again. So be alert. Watch. This does have ramifications worldwide and does affect us. I'm going to take a short break. When I come back, my commentary on, well, my anger within myself. I'll be right back. You're listening to A World Gone Mad. Just wanted to let you know you can reach me with our toll-free number, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that number is 833-399-9653, 833-399-9653. Leave your name, your age, your location, where you're listening from. Don't forget to subscribe. Hit subscribe on whatever app you're on. And also rate the show and give a review. Thank you so much. Now back to the show. Welcome back. So I was saying before the break that the anger within myself. So in a nutshell, I'm trying to tap into something here. I've been angry for a couple of weeks now, legitimately, and I'm going to be jumping back and forth with a couple of thoughts, so bear with me. Everything that I read and come across, because I do a podcast, has the possibility of making me angry and react. So that's part of why my mood is that way. Other parts are because of health issues, etc. But let me digress for a second and explain what a podcast is. For those of you that know and are listening, some of you have never heard a podcast before until now. Some of you have just started listening to a podcast. A podcast is basically radio. And the difference between this and radio is the following. Radio, when you're on the air, whether you're a DJ or a talk show host like I was for many years, is you're on the dial at a certain time during the morning, evening, afternoon, weekend, night, all over the place. And you're hoping whatever other shows are on the dial at that time, you stand out enough for the listening audience to tune in and be part of your show. So, for example, I was competing against Howard Stern in Florida in the morning. Doesn't mean Howard Stern was my audience, far from it. But at that hour of the morning, Howard Stern was on, I was on, sports was on, news was on. And it's a locked dial in that area for 50,000 watts. across hundreds of thousands of miles across the state of Florida. And if you, the listener, tune in, you have five or six shows. And that's it. With a podcast, I'm all over the place, and I hope people discover the show. So the frustration and anger, besides the news that I read, is will anybody listen to the show? And I've said this before, people supposedly are listening, but I don't get a lot of feedback. So I don't know where to turn the show or to improve it. I want to have guests on. I want to change segments. I want to improve segments. But without feedback, I can't do that. So when I was in radio, I would say, XYZ News, here's the phone number. And then the lines would either light up or not light up. Here's an email, here's a phone number, contact me. And I don't have feedback until days later, and I see I do or I don't. So podcasting is a new type of beast. It replaces radio. Someone asked me and said, where are all the great liberal talk shows on the radio? There aren't unless it's serious radio and syndicated. Podcasting is the way of media. And there are hundreds of thousands of podcasts out there. A lot of them are not good. Some of them are great. And some of them are very good becoming great. I'm hoping I'm in the very good becoming great area. I have a friend who does a podcast, and he's in the same boat. I have a t-shirt that says, let me read you my t-shirt. One who talks crap for an extended period of time. That's what a podcaster is. One who talks crap for an extended period of time. And my friend Bill, who does two great podcasts, by the way, Bill Mongey's Guide to Getting Older and Tales from South Florida. He said, you know, Jeff, podcasters, we sit in a room and talk to ourselves. And that's true. We sit in a room and talk to ourselves. We don't see the station manager. We don't get the phone calls lighting up instantly. We sit in a room and talk to ourselves. We might as well be in a rubber room talking to ourselves. One of my favorite phrases, and I've said it a couple of times during this last couple of months on the podcast, the opposite of love is not hate, it's apathy. And when we, Bill, myself, other podcasters, don't hear from you, and it's crickets, that's hard, okay? Podcasting is the tip of the iceberg. This is a new media that is going to explode each and every year. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. So I thank you for listening. That's part of my anger, not hearing from people, the news in itself, Donald getting away with crap, the war in Ukraine, Putin attacking Ukraine, Israel and Hamas, Netanyahu going overboard. All of this just creates anger in myself. And I have my highs and I have my lows during the day. And some of my lows were the following. And by the way, the cool thing about doing podcasts that Bill and I do and other podcasters, we can do whatever the hell we want on our podcast because we don't always get feedback. So if we want to sit there and go, blah, 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 or go, or bark, whatever we want to do, we can do because it's our podcast. So I'm going to give you my low for the week, and I'm going to give you my high, and to show you what we go through like you guys do. We're nothing special. I'm on a lot of Facebook groups and all these Democratic Facebook groups. And one guy infiltrated was a Republican. I wrote basically in one of my posts that here's my podcast, here's my link. I'm unfiltered and unspun. Give a listen to my podcast. And he wrote back, oh my God, an unabashed, unashamed Democrat. How's things going? You really liking the wide open southern border, the price of gas, groceries, and insurance? You like the world at war? How about crime? You think letting criminals run loose is helping? Do you actually listen to our demented president? No? Certainly not. Do you take any hard questions on your show? Probably not. And this is the typical crap I get from most Republicans. Not all Republicans. They throw out something garbage-wise. They make a loon ball assumption of something. Demented President Biden, no, I think you're talking about the big orange guy. That's dementia. That's demented. So I get that type of commentary. And basically I answered back and said, you know, I deal with you on a daily basis, I wrote to this guy, and it's not worth my time. All right? Then I get something out of the blue. I'm coming out from the doctor's appointment, checking on some tests that I went through for my heart. I wear a mask. My girlfriend wears a mask. I'm sorry, we're some of the few in the United States that wear masks. It's important to us with health issues to not, you know, get any problems with COVID or anything else. Whether you believe in COVID or not, I don't care. This is what we do. And I'm at the front desk making an appointment for my next appointment. And I'm joking with both of the nurses. And I'm saying how the previous client or patient who was here before was disrespectful. And how can people do that to doctors and nurses, etc., when you guys are trying to help us? And I'm making them laugh and I'm joking. I'm just being charming, whatever, and having fun, you know, because I just got done with my appointment and I'm happy. And she says to me out of the blue, you know, if you had a podcast, I'd listen to you. And I thought that was an odd comment. And I went, I do. And she said, no, come on. And I said, hold on. Pulled out my phone, started to pull up my podcast webpage. She said, I don't know if you're joking with me behind the mask. I can't tell. Showed her the picture of the link. She says, oh, send that to me. Got her email. The other nurse across from her said, I want to listen too. So there's my highs for the day, my lows and highs. We go up and down like everyone does in this world. And we have to keep a moderate tone and just not let the lows get too low for us or the highs get too high, because other things will come up to knock that down and keep an even keel. I want to thank you for letting me vent. It was just one of those couple of weeks that I was just angry and upset about everything going on. As I've said multiple times towards the end of my show, the thick plottins. I'm taking a short break. And when I come back, my uplifting story. I'll be right back. You're listening to A World Gone Mad. Thank you. And you could reach me by sending me an email. And the email is aworldgonemadpodcast@gmail.com. Leave your first name in the email, your age, your location, where you're, you know, listening to us from, what app, etc., and any comments you have. Also, don't forget to hit subscribe. That way, I can let you know when the new episode goes online. It's automatic, and it's free. Also, if you can review, rate, rank the show on the app you're listening from, that helps me tremendously. I thank you for listening, whether you just joined us for the first time or have been listening for a while. I appreciate that. And now, back to the show. This week, my uplifting story. I decided not to actually share a story that I found, but just some thoughts I have, hopefully to put a better frame of mind or better peace of mind in your soul and heart, and it's offering you this. When you're down, when you think negatively, here we go, when you think negative, let's do it that way. See, we don't edit everything on the show. When you have negative thoughts and you're feeling blue, think about the people, friends, family in your life that inspire you and uplift you. In my case, it's my better half, Natasha, my golden retriever, Cooper, and my Maine Coon cat, Phoenix. Also think about the places that you go to that make you inspired. Physical place in your house, backyard, or area. We have a library upstairs of over 6,000 books. It's a 15 by 25 foot loft. And there's a corner there on the ground with pillows that I just lie down, dim the lights, and it's very peaceful. I also have a music room downstairs, dim the lights, put on some jazz music. And that relaxes me. Or in our backyard with my girlfriend, watching the timber bamboo sway back and forth in the wind at night. That's fun. So whatever your uplifting, inspiring people, places you have, think about that each day, each week. Be grateful. I'll be back next week with another show. And until then, I'm your host, Jeff Allen Wolf. For A World Gone Mad, stay hopeful.